Welcome to Whiskey Wednesday, where we drink the finest whiskey and we argue about the internet's most important topics.
Because there's anything that the internet doesn't love more, it's arguing and telling people that they're wrong.
So true. With each topic, we may not really agree with this topic, but guess what? We're gonna die on this hill.
So grab something to drink, sit back, and enjoy the somewhat adequate conversation today. Huh. Podcasters, thank you so much for tuning in today. We love you, and we thank you for taking your time to listen to this weird conversation we're going to have today. But you're going to be so thankful you did. Make sure that you share this with somebody else who also enjoys weird conversation, and we would greatly appreciate it. So let's just get things started today with what we're drinking. I'm taking us down a little bit different of a path. We're doing a Tennessee whiskey, and we're doing probably one of the most famous Tennessee whiskeys is Jack Daniel's.
100%.
I'm normally not a big Jack Daniel's fan, but I saw this one the other day, and two reasons why I picked it up.
Okay, why?
One, the bottle's amazing.
I want this bottle.
It's just, there's something cool about this bottle. And two, it says single barrel select. And I've talked about single barrels before. Yeah. I'm like, okay, this is something a little bit more special about this Jack Daniel's. That's why I picked it up. But the reason why I brought it today is because the topic we're going to be talking about is a little bit, also a little different than how we've been.
Absolutely.
We've been talking about guns, drinking bourbon.
Yeah.
Today we're going to be talking about vehicles.
Drinking Tennessee whiskey. Listen to Chris Stapleton. I mean, probably not, right? Mm. No, man.
I'm in for that. So, why don't you pour us a little bit while I talk a little bit about this? So, there is so much history with Jack Daniel's. I could have had a whole hour podcast or video talking about Jack Daniel's, but I wanted to kind of focus on some of the things that makes this different specifically. Obviously, being in Tennessee is different, but it
smells good.
This is a 94 proof, hand-selected single barrel. Mm. So what that means is generally when whiskey's made, they make hundreds of barrels, and then they blend it together to make the flavor profile they want. This is literally, there was one barrel that they took, they selected that barrel, tasted it, said, this is a great barrel, let's bottle this, and then they bottle it straight into the bottle. So that's kind of what makes this a little more special. It's not a blended thing. This is straight out of the barrel. It is 80% corn, 12% barley, 8% rye, which is the same mash bill that they use on all Jack Daniels. The thing that's different is
It came from a single barrel.
And then the other thing that I learned about this is these bottles are also aged in barrels on the top floor of where they age them.
Yeah.
And the reason why that's special is the temperature swings up there is more drastic than it is on the bottom. So you get a more mature whiskey because of that. And yeah, so I thought that was also kind of interesting.
That is fascinating. Yeah.
Something else that makes Jack Daniel's in total very different. Again, this is not a bourbon because it's not held to the same standards that a bourbon is. But one of the things that makes Jack Daniel's special, different, is they do what's called charcoal mellowing.
Yeah.
What they do is they stack a bunch of hard maple, I think they said they do it like two or three times a day. They stack a bunch of hard maple, douse it with unaged whiskey, and set it on fire. And burns at 2,000 degrees, makes all these coals. They rake all those coals together.
Okay.
And they actually drip the unaged whiskey, the mash, through the charcoal.
It's like a charcoal kind of filtration.
Yeah, kind of charcoal filter. And what they say it does is they say it takes years of the barrel aging off.
Interesting.
Like, you know, because you get some of the mellowing. This is their words. It mellows it out, and it gets a lot of flavor. They say it takes 3 to 5 days for it to go all the way through.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's not a quick thing.
This is pre-aging, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so they're starting off with what would be considered a unique product pre-aged, and then they put it in barrels.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So they do the charcoal mellowing, and then they will barrel it. And another thing that was interesting, they're one of the very few, I don't look up numbers here, that I'm going off their website, one of the very few distilleries that actually makes their own barrels.
Oh, so there's a dude there putting their barrel.
There's a whole shop dedicated to just making their own barrels. Instead of, I think a lot of distilleries use like a barrel maker. There's a name for it that's escaping me right now. If you know what they're called, the people that make barrels, I know it.
Yeah, let us know in the comments.
It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't think of it. So they have their own people that make their own barrels. So very unique, very cool. They've been doing this for over 150 years.
That's fascinating. Yeah,
and,
I did not know.
And again, there's a ton of history about Jack Daniel's, where it came from and everything. And I started writing some of that stuff down, but I kind of wanted to try to keep this a little bit on the short side and just really talking about the things that make it different.
This bottle looks like a bottle. You know, like you get a bottle that's made cut from crystal. You put it on your mantelpiece there, and that's what you pour your whiskey into out of the bottle that comes in, because the bottle that comes in is ugly.
That's why I grabbed this, because
I think... This bottle looks like that bottle.
Yeah.
Take the stickers off.
That's what I'm doing. That's why I bought this bottle.
It's gorgeous.
This bottle's super cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I may leave the label on there, because it's nice looking.
I'd buy this to turn it into a water bottle.
So actually, the shirt that I'm wearing is actually...
Yeah.
We call this the
stamp?
I think we called whiskey it the whiskey, the whiskey
like that,
logo.
Yeah. We should do those shirts again.
The shirt was designed after like a Jack Daniel's type label.
Yeah.
All right, you ready to taste this? Our first Tennessee.
I can already tell you a few things about it.
Okay.
It's sweet. I know it's going to be sweet. Smell the corn. Just smell the sweetness of it.
Yeah, you can definitely smell. It definitely smells different than anything else.
Oh, very different. Very different flavor profiles here. One, it comes on strong.
It's 94 proof. It's not a low proof.
No, it's a burner.
It's not, I mean, to me, it's not overpowered. It's
not going to.
It's not too much.
Yeah. But it's but you know it's there.
But, I think I've said before, like, once you get to 100 proof is when I might throw a cube or two in there or something. This, I don't need ice in this.
Yeah.
It might kind of open it up a little bit and be nice, but.
So, right off the bat here, you feel on the roof of your mouth. You feel that alcohol hit.
Coats the mouth.
Yeah. And you can kind of feel it kind of flail more than what you're making it do. But what I think is really interesting is it's still got that strong oak flavor right over top of it. But it's different than the oak flavors you might taste in a bourbon. It's a little...
It's all right, so to me, I get sweetness right away.
Yeah.
And then that sweetness kind of changes some flavors, kind of maybe goes from like a honey to a vanilla or something. And then
I see what you're saying.
At the end you get that spice. You get like a pepper spice. That's probably that rye in there. Like it's only 8% rye, but that rye probably adds a spice to
it. I also think that spice comes from the alcohol content somewhat too.
Sure.
Because you get that like tingly feel with this one.
Yeah, it's really good.
I like it. I don't think it's my favorite, but I like it. You like rye, so what do you think of this one?
But this isn't rye. This is 8% of its rye.
No.
It's 80% corn, so.
I would say this is more like a rye, though, than what we have been. Some of those milder whiskeys we've been tasting.
I don't know. It's got a little more. So even it's been a little bit since I had a taste, so I'm still picking up flavors and stuff. Mm-hmm. I definitely get a lot of oak afterwards, after everything.
Back here?
Yeah, I definitely get a lot of the oak. So. Yeah, I mean, I bought this and I was a little, again, I bought it because the bottle was super cool and it said single barrel, sold. But then I was hoping when I got home and actually opened up that I'd actually enjoy it. And I've had a couple glasses of this since I got it and I've really enjoyed it. I don't know, on my scale, would I buy it again or not? Absolutely.
On mine?
This is one that I would, that I would like to have again.
Mine's like 5.5. I think it's good. I don't think it's mind blowing. Five and a half is a little over mid tier for me.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the other things that you've rated.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the highest mark you've given anything is like a 7.5 or 8.5.
Eight and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've had some really bad alcohols, and I know where those lie. None of these have been that.
I kind of want to bring in.
Just
like I want to try to find something that's a one.
Oh, you can.
I want to bring something in that you just spit out.
Here's what you're gonna do. go to the store, look down, grab something in a plastic bottle. Guaranteed, I just spew it out of my mouth.
So here's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Not next week, because I have next week's picked out. Maybe the one after that. I'm going to bring in two.
Oh, are we doing blind testing?
I'm going to do a blind test. I'm going to do two. I'm going to go buy the cheapest whiskey I can find.
Yeah.
And then I'll pick something else out of my collection that I know is very good. And
I like this palate testing idea.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I think it'll be very fun. If you want us to do that, let us know. We're going to do it with this.
Or yeah, let me know what's the worst whiskey that you've had. And let me know. And I'm going to try to find that and buy it. And then, yeah, I'll pick out something really good.
I kind of want to do one for you where I pour whiskey into like four different glasses, and then I give you names on sticky notes, and you try and like match them up.
One thing I've seen people do, like in some of the whiskey groups that I'm in, is they'll actually do brackets. They'll take every whiskey they have, and they'll pair them up, and then they'll do it's all blind tasting. They'll come down to the
whiskey bracket,
to the top one.
Because then you really know what your favorite one is, and you're not just judging it by the bottle and the history.
Maybe one of these we'll just do like
no debate.
No debate, no topic. We're just gonna do like the top six. Maybe what we should do is take all the ones we've done so far.
Oh yeah.
And do those blind.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, maybe that's the way to do it.
That's a good move.
So maybe for one of our upcoming, like we'll just chat, we'll just hang out and chat, and we'll
20th episode and we'll bracket special.
Yeah, something like that.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be fun. All right, well, I think it's probably time to get to...
I think we should.
Our topic.
I think we should.
Today we're going to be talking about which vehicle is the best bug-out vehicle between my Jeep... Hi? Okay.
Oh, weird. Dude just walked in.
All right. Breaking news.
Oh.
Massive fallout has just occurred and everyone you know is dead.
Oh, how sad.
Stranded cars, flooding and fires have created blockages and looters are everywhere. You must drive 565 miles to Jack Daniel's Distillery in Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Deal. Done.
The only way to save yourself is to drink the sweet nectar that flows from its handmade white oak barrels. Good luck and Godspeed. Apparently this won't save us here. We have to drive almost 600 miles.
Yeah, I thought this was like a special barrel.
To get the fresh stuff. But, I don't know, the world's ending. We should probably go.
Maybe they knew. Yeah, I mean...
I'm going to take...
The world's ending, you can
right,
do
I can
now,
take it, right?
I think that's fine.
Let's get out of here.
All right, let's do it. It is a nice day outside for an apocalypse.
Beautiful day for an apocalypse. I can't wait.
It's going to be rainy.
It's a perfect time to grab an AR and a bottle of whiskey and start driving.
That doesn't seem...
When else can you do this?
You're going to drive like 5 miles an hour there the whole way, riding the yellow line?
Nope.
Well, we'll see about that.
So, why don't you tell me about your ride here? What's your specs?
This right here is a 2021 Kia Seltos XX Turbo. Okay. That boy's got 175 horsepower, 202 foot-pounds of torque. Bad mamma jamma snow tires.
Ooh.
And best of all, it looks like a mom car.
Yeah, it does.
Nobody about to rob this thing. Doesn't have anything inside of it.
What's your horsepower?
175.
It's cute. What's your torque?
202.
It's cute.
Yeah.
Looks like you got like a couple inches of ground clearance there.
It's got a great 8.5 inches of ground clearance.
Wow.
I believe that's correct. Pretty solid.
Pretty solid. So
that's exactly what you need to drive on grass, which is what you're gonna be driving on.
This is exactly what I'm gonna be pushing out of the way with this bad mamma jamma right here.
That's what he says.
2020 Jeep Rubicon Gladiator, lifted 2 inches, 37s, lockers front and back, bumper with a winch. I got lights. I got a lockable bed that I can fill with 1,700 pounds. I can load this up with. I can even tow over 5,000 pounds. I've got 285 horsepower, 260 pounds of torque. I've got all that I need to drive through this field if I want to, whereas he would get stuck right here in this breakover angle.
Nah, I got that.
He wouldn't even make it.
Sideways.
So, I don't know. If I was coming out and I had to drive through an apocalypse, it's not even really an option to me.
That says to me,
this is This is what I'm getting.
Resupply for somebody who's bigger and stronger than you are.
My tires are about as tall as your hood, so
yeah,
you're not fording much water in this.
Don't need to. It's called roads.
You might have to. No, roads. We just got on the letter that the roads are blocked.
So?
There's cars scattered everywhere. There's looters.
Grass?
I'm not taking roads.
You can drive through this. This is nothing.
There's no way. Let's see you do it. I'll pull you out.
No, you won't.
No, you're right, I won't.
I already know better.
All right, well.
You're gonna grand tour me and just drive off.
I say we go. Doesn't sound like there's a big hurry to get down there because we're the last ones alive, other than looters or something.
I assumed there was looters.
It was kind of confusing.
Yeah, they were like, everyone's dead that you know. I don't know many looters, but it just seems like we should just.
Well, let's go talk about which one of these.
Should we argue about this for a while?
Yeah, let's go. I'm gonna grab the whiskey.
I mean, that's probably, I left mine inside, so.
All right.
Okay.
Whew. All right, so we just learned some shocking news. We just showed you guys our vehicles. I'm sticking with my Jeep.
You know my Jeep.
I actually can't wait to do this because I'm just gonna, this is gonna be the easiest debate.
He's been giggling about
that
this.
I've ever, this is just, it's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
No,
there's
not.
Nothing. There's no reason to pick the accountant's Kia over the man's Jeep.
I've literally thought of three reasons. Before you had one on your paper, I had three already written down.
Because I wrote down my first one, and I'm like, I don't need any others.
That's not at all what happened.
That is exactly what happened. That was exactly what happened. All right.
You want to go first then, Mr. I've Got the Greatest?
All right, here are the top three reasons why you should take my Jeep, or why I'm going to take my Jeep down to Jack Daniels over his little sissy car. First one, I can go anywhere, nearly anywhere, especially way more places than his little car. So I was thinking about this. So our building here, where our shop is, we have fields and some kind of scraggly little woods behind us. One way in the road floods pretty often. They actually block it off after heavy rain, because there's some flooding on the roads and stuff.
Yep.
And the other way goes towards town, right? So, if things go nuts and I have to bug out of here, I can go any of those ways. I can go through the flooded road.
Sure, yeah.
I can go through the fields behind us, or I can go through town. My Jeep can wade through water almost as tall as me.
How high is your intake?
I mean, definitely taller than the hood of your car. Or like my bumper comes up about like where your airbox is.
Yeah.
So I haven't measured.
I went outside with a tape measure. Mine's 32 and a half inches off the ground.
Yeah, that's
perfect.
That's nothing.
That's like great.
So I'm going to be able to come up to rivers and streams and roads that are way deeper than yours and be able to go through them. The fields behind us, I'll throw it at 4-low and lock front and back and just go straight through. And if I need to go through town, that's no problem, but I'm probably not going to because things are probably insane over there. I'm probably going to go through the flooded way or the woods. All right, so we've established the Jeep can go anywhere that the Kia can go and then some.
Mm.
The next thing is the Jeep can tow and haul way more weight than what yours can. So let's say I've got a side-by-side on a trailer and I want to bring it with me. Who knows? Why not? Or I have a covered bug-out trailer and I want to bring that with me. Or let's just say I've got a bunch of stuff in the back of, in the bed of my Jeep that I can keep fuel back there. Mm-hmm. I can keep food back there since I have the Diamondback cover like locked, sealed. It's actually more secure than the cab of my any car. So I can lock things back there, keep them secure. Put a ton more weight in there, and it'd be fine. So that's number two. And the number three, the first thing I wrote down is, you look way cooler driving a Jeep than you do a Kia. But the more I thought about that, is I look like way less of an easy target than somebody driving a Kia.
That's not true at all.
If things go bonkers, and they see you in a Kia, or they see me in a Jeep, they're going for you.
That's good. I'll take their stuff.
They're gonna come and take you out while I'm like driving by.
Oh, so, good, Sal.
So those are my main three things. I can go anywhere you can go, and then some. I can take way more stuff with me than you can, and I am going to be way less of an easy target. One, they aren't going to be able to find me because I'm going to be driving through wherever I want to. They're going to be stuck on the side of the road.
That's actually not the things I thought that you would have underneath your world of points for the Jeep. So I have some actual pros for your car that you didn't even mention.
I don't need any more pros. Those are the
you
main.
Do, actually.
Those
yes.
are the main ones.
So, first of all, it's very unlikely you're going to be driving through a field, right? Most of the roads have some form of grassy knolls on the side of them that you can drive through. Okay? So really you need a vehicle that is able to handle pretty, you know, slick grass and a mild incline. If you can handle slick grass and a mild incline, which not every vehicle can, okay, but it is what you need to handle.
See, that's what you think about because that's all your car can do.
No, that's not true.
So if you're on the highway and you're like, okay, that median doesn't seem too deep, I guess I can go that way.
Whereas, you were with me when we off-roaded a rental vehicle, which by the way was a Toyota Corolla.
So
in the middle of nowhere. All
right, so I want you to get through, hit your 3 points, and then we're gonna.
Okay.
We're gonna,
all right. So my 3 points, which involve the more modest and useful things, is one, gas will be extremely scarce. Okay. We've had moments in this country where we aren't in an apocalypse situation, where you can't get gas, and or gas is extremely expensive and people are hogging it all. Okay. That happens like every 5 years, 6 years. Secondarily, I get really good gas mileage in my car, even at low speeds, especially, you know, my car drives at 55 miles an hour, roughly, the most efficiently. And so I did a little testing when I knew we were going to talk about this, and to go from my house to work uses less than a gallon of gas. I live about 26 miles away. Now, when driving as economically as possible, I can get up to 33 miles to the gallon, even though the car says it can only do 31, which is fantastic. And then driving around town, when I don't stop at stop signs, not that I ever did that, you can get about 22, 25. So that's fairly decent gas mileage. With that being said, I've calculated it out, and my car tells me like how many miles I can go. I can do 426 miles on a 13.7 gallon tank. So what that means is 2 5-gallon cans can get me over 3/4 of the way full of gas, and I can do on 5 gallons roughly 375 miles. So on a trip, say from here to Tennessee, where it's 600 miles, I would need exactly one tank plus a 5 gallon of gas. And that is perfectly easy and adequate. I can put that in my passenger seat, okay? So that's my first point. My second point, all-wheel drive is extremely good, especially with snow tires. It's extremely good at off-roading in the situations that we have here in Ohio, even in the southern part of Ohio where things are pretty hilly. I won't be wading my vehicle through rivers. I think that's extremely risky to take the one thing that you have that's an asset to you and put it at risk by going through a river. And then I won't be going through fields where I could get stuck and have to get out of my car and winch myself out of the thing. I'm going to find a route in which I can drive, I can avoid vehicles, and I can stay in a place where my car is not going to get taken from me. And then lastly, my car does not attract a ton of attention. Greg's point of everyone thinking he looks like Bad Mamma Jamma, in my opinion, is the same thought as open carrying a gun. Right? Is it better to conceal carry or open carry? Well, we've had this debate, and conceal carry, in my opinion, is still the best way to go, and open carry doesn't seem to ward off people as much as people think it does. And so as such, I think that having a car that looks like you're just a mom trying to get home to her kids is much less of a target for resource gathering than a guy who's got gas cans on his roof and Diamondback cover and lifted up stuff and Neomag plastered all over his Jeep. So that's my thoughts on the subject.
So we've established that no matter what, we're going to need gas, and grass is going to be hard to get. We both are going to need one to fill up to get.
Right. The only difference is I will need 16 gallons. You will need 28 gallons.
Yeah. So either way.
So it's basically
like we need
half
more gas
of what you need.
It doesn't really matter. And eventually, in this fallen world, none of us are going to be driving anything because eventually
pushing
gas
that car.
Eventually, both vehicles are going to get left on the side of the road because they are useless to us, because we can't find gas anyway.
Right.
So, to me, the gas thing, okay, it may be a little bit more of an inconvenience because I have to find more, but I'm still going to have to find more. And again, I don't have to fill up my passenger seat with gas cans to get places. I have a bed.
I mean, I have an entire back seat that folds down. Thing.
Right, so you're going to have to put fuel inside with you.
Sure.
Instead of keeping things like food and stuff separate from your gas, you're going to have to keep, which again, we're going to Tennessee here in this situation.
Right, Tennessee. Not that far away.
But in a more extreme situation, I can keep fuel and tools and stuff like that in the bed of my truck separate from me and my family and food and that sort of thing, which I'll definitely take over driving a little fake SUV. So we've established that the fuel thing is an issue. I'll give it to you. But to me, it's not as big of an issue because we're all gonna have to find gas anyway.
I mean, I have enough gas in my house to go there.
I do too.
So there we go. Problem solved.
I mean, yeah. So again,
getting back is the issue.
To me, the gas is kind of a non-issue. It is an issue, but it's also kind of a non-issue. And what was your other?
All-wheel drive with snow tires is really capable of doing most anything off-road we might need here in Ohio.
So, let's just be honest with me. My Jeep can go way more places than your Kia can.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes. So the options that I have to take are, I have way more options to take.
To
get out.
Yes.
No, same
so
amount
doing
of risk.
The same thing.
For you driving through.
Would be less risky for you.
For you driving through a kind of somewhat steep, muddy-filled median
would be more risky than it would be for you.
Right.
Yes,
so your risk level is here.
No, here.
Here, my risk level
is here.
We're
doing the same task. Yes.
Right? So, again, the options that I have to take going through a six-foot-deep river, yes, that's not great, but if I have a choice between these people are trying to kill me and that side's safe,
sure,
I'm going for it. Whereas you don't have that choice. You are going to die if you try to go through a 6 foot deep
maybe
river. You're done.
No, I'd find a way around with my hyper gas mileage.
So
the last point that I made was that I don't attract as much attention.
Yeah, so and the attention thing, yeah, that's why I'm going to try to find routes that are not seen as much, one, so I can kind of hang low and whatever. But again, I can take the same roads that you can, and you taking a left through a sketchy looking median, or me going to the right with an amazing approach angle that I have and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh.
It's just,
you haven't even hit on your best qualities yet, and it blows me away.
There may be more qualities, but those
your
are the best ones that I need.
Has a bumper that is capable of pushing another vehicle without damaging itself.
Sure, I've got winches.
Didn't even mention that
because I have so many more tools to use than you do.
I'll just put
a
bush guard.
It doesn't even matter.
Call it a day.
Right. Yep. Yeah. They make all those amazing brush guards
have
with
bush guards
with
for Kia
winches.
Seltos. They don't have winches on them, but zip ties. And then, I think that's a major quality that you do have is the ability to move vehicles, right?
Yeah, I can push stuff out. I can go over. I can drive over your Seltos.
That being said, my car will get much further than your car will because I will be able to drive if there's no one on the road, assuming like everyone died in the apocalypse.
The only thing that you have to go to is fuel mileage. That's the only.
And speed.
That's your only thing.
Driving your car, which I've done at 75 miles an hour, is way more sketchy than driving my car. You don't even know that it's driving at 75 miles an hour.
Sure, I got 30 sevens.
I also get.
But I can still go 100 miles an hour.
Sure, not for very long.
No.
maybe not even for 100 miles.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, I could. I drive 80 everywhere, and guess what? I get great gas mileage.
Except when you get pulled over.
Then I drive zero, and then I drive 80 again. The gas mileage thing is, even at high speeds, I get 25 miles to the gallon at 80 miles an hour. I'll be in Tennessee with the whiskey and back before you get to Tennessee.
Yeah, if it's my own home. If you and me are racing there.
So that's risk mitigation, if you ask me.
Then you're going to beat me for sure.
Less time on the road.
But I don't drive a jacked up Jeep with 37s because I want speed.
No, that's true.
We've established that.
I don't drive a Kia because I want speed either, though, to be fair.
Right.
It's not a race car. even though it could be.
You drive it because you look pretty.
Exactly.
So I feel like
I actually think my car is a much better bug out vehicle than yours.
We just established that it's not.
No, we didn't.
We did.
You one pro that I thought you should have hit on, and you didn't.
What? That I have a bumper?
Yes, that you have a bumper.
You can push stuff with yours too. You might damage your front end more.
Let's look at the people who were causing all the mass riots up in whatever it was, Washington. What is the one thing that you end up doing in a world where people are upset with each other and apocalyptic? It's either hitting people or it's pushing cars out of your way. You have the capabilities to do those things.
Okay, so you're just adding more.
That is the only benefit that you actually have.
No.
Because off-roading is something that I've never, ever, 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 ever seen in a situation.
Because you don't see them, because they're off-road.
No, they're not.
You can't see them.
They're stuck.
Because they've gone off-road. They've hit oil roads. They've hit, like, especially if you're in a state like Utah or Montana or something like that, where
California, you can
just go.
I've seen once in the wildfires in California, where there was a bunch of Toyota Corollas off-roading to get from one side of the highway to the other side of the highway to avoid a fire.
We're big Top Gear fans,
oh,
right?
Oh, big time.
And we're big Grand Tour fans. And how many things have we watched where all three of the guys pick, like, cars for some off-road excursion? And the whole time we're watching them, like, why did you do that? No.
Yes.
Here's the point. Just because most of the time they can't do it. They're breaking tie rods. They're having to re-weld things back together.
Yes.
And as we're watching it, we're like, if they just picked a Jeep, they wouldn't have to do with anything, right?
Except for the time when they did pick a Jeep and it still broke.
No, he picked a Samurai.
No, he picked the Jeep Wrangler. Did the whole like jungle thing, went to the woods, it still broke down. It did break down.
All the things we watched where they took cars.
And it may have been because he put scaffolding in the back. But it still broke down.
Everything we watched where they pick cars, we're like, why do they keep picking cars for these things? It is the worst choice. Mm. Pick something that has ground clearance.
I recall Richard
Hammond.
That
has articulation.
Putting giant tires on a big pickup truck.
The massive truck that he got?
And it literally couldn't get out of the ocean.
It was a monster truck. That's totally different.
That's what, they had the same size tires you had.
No.
37s?
That truck had massive tires.
He said they were 37s, from my memory, perfect.
It was like a monster truck. It doesn't have like flames on the side of it. It was literally a monster truck. I think, because I remember he couldn't get into it.
He had to have a ladder. It was lifted more than your truck.
It was way bigger than
it was way lifted. But the point is, adding larger tires to your vehicle decreases its performance overall, decreases its gas mileage, doesn't necessarily help its overall off-road capability.
Wait, no. Putting bigger tires on your, it depends on what you're putting it on. If you put 37s on your car, it is absolutely destroyed.
Oh, okay, so you're going to say that your gear ratios are made for 37s?
Yes.
No, they're not.
They are.
If they were, they would have put 37s on them.
No, they don't put 37s on it because they're trying to meet gas, the gas mileage.
Do you have a 410?
If you go out to the Jeep days out of Sunnyton, you're going to go around to all the Jeeps and be like, if you guys would have put 29s on your car, on your Jeeps, you guys would be doing way better.
I've literally been out there.
That is ridiculous.
Take a normal Jeep and they do just as well in the mud pits.
That is not true.
That is true.
That is absolutely not true. You've not gone out there enough.
I've gone out there 3 times. Every single time we've gone out there, we've been right behind all the lifted Jeeps in a standard Toyota Land Cruiser and whatever it was that we ended up beaching.
How do I have this conversation?
We actually
filled
it with water, to be fair.
It's the most ridiculous thing. So we've established fuel doesn't matter. More off-road capability does not hurt you enough on-road. It just gives you capability off-road.
Oh, that's not what we established.
And we've established that you look way cooler.
We've established that I'm going to get to Tennessee and back before Greg. I'm going to get there with less gas, and I'm going to do way more with the capabilities that I have than he will with his Jeep.
Here's the thing. If this road is blocked out because people went nuts, this road has a 64-inch, I don't know, I can't remember, did you say 62? No,
it's 32.
32, yeah. 33-inch water.
This is a little higher than this table.
Wait. Your wading depth is not even as deep as my tires are tall.
That's correct.
Right. Yeah. So if this water is
as
deep
as are ridiculous.
Is as deep as my tires, he can't go through it.
He's gonna break his ankle getting out of his vehicle.
If you can't take the two roads, you're screwed.
I can just go through the grass.
I can ford the water and I can go through the field behind me. You're not even gonna be able to get out of the building.
I would be willing to bet you going back in this field, which I've been in, by the way, and stuck in an off-road vehicle. I would bet you can't take that and do that in your Jeep.
It would be rough.
I would bet you'd be stuck. You'd be high risking it, and then you'd have to walk all the way to Tennessee. But me, I would just patiently go through people's front lawns like a psychopath and make my way to Tennessee.
I'll just go back in my office and drink this.
I really want to know what you guys want to think.
Yep.
Would a, and here's the car that I drive, a 2021 Kia Seltos SX Turbo be a better bug out vehicle than
a 2020 Jeep Rubicon lifted 2 inches with 37s, bumper with a winch, lockable bed. Gosh, I like just so many other
27 cars. Gallon tank, whatever it is.
I don't know, actually, I'm not even sure.
Yeah, it's got
I know I can get highway speeds. I can go 350 miles on the tank.
Yeah, but what is your gas mileage?
On the highway is probably like 18, 19.
19, okay. So it gets 10 miles to the gallon less than I do.
At we both still need a fill-up
to
get
for
here.
Me. Yeah.
Both need a fill-up.
But my gas sits in the front tank and yours has to go in a trailer behind your car. All right, let's just get this
all
over
right,
with.
Let's get this over with. Guys, let us know which one that you would take and let us know topic that you'd like to hear next time. Speaking of next time.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about.
We got some topics, don't we?
What we want to talk about next time. Let me go to my topic list here. All right. What would make the best babysitter? Joe Biden or Giselle Maxwell?
Oh! No! I ain't even giving that an answer. No! Well, probably Joe Biden, because he's just going to sniff your children.
No. Ugh.
It's a terrible name. No, next.
Next? All right. What is scarier to a Democrat, COVID or midterm elections?
Well, they've forgotten about COVID. Or at least so I think. So midterm elections are coming up.
Yeah.
And they'd be panicking.
It's not looking good.
Not looking good. I think it's got to be elections, right? COVID is only scary when the news plays it.
Yeah, but COVID's wiping out countries.
Billions.
Just bodies.
1/7 of the world population is now dead.
Bodies stacking in the streets because of COVID. So I don't know.
Gonna have to use those all-wheel drive.
That's a tough one. All right. So let's go with maybe a little more of a reasonable one. And we're going to kind of stay in the track that we're kind of talking about today a little bit.
Oh.
So we in this situation we were told we had to go somewhere. But if things go sideways, would you bug in or would you bug out?
Oh. Hands down. I'd bug in. What would you do?
I think I'm bugging out. I'm getting out of here.
Why?
I'm going to find some place that's not so populated.
Nah, I'm bugging in.
That has resources that I can rape and pillage on the way and fill my Jeep with.
I got plenty of resources to rape and pillage.
We've established I have the best vehicle to bug out, so I might as well use that and go bug out.
Man, I can't wait for someone to jack your car while you're out there.
I'll jack them with the bumper of my Jeep.
The bumper of your Jeep.
And I'll pull them along with my...
Well, I'm going to stay where all my resources are and where all of my neighbors are and just bug in.
Yep.
I think we should talk about that.
All right.
Okay, next week.
Bug in or bug out.
Cool.
Guys, let us know what you think you would do with your situation. Bug in or bug out?
Well, that's next week. Let us know that next week.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, okay.
Well, no, let us know so that way when we come to talk about it next week, we can maybe...
Sure, there's a lot of stuff you have requirements for.
There's a lot this episode.
What you drinking? Do you think the Kia is better than the whatever he drives? And are you bugging in or bugging out?
Look, there's something else too. I can't remember. Go back to the beginning.
Yeah, just watch it again.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.